Proverbs chapter 16, and we're going to look through the entire chapter today. So buckle up and stick with it. So got 33 verses to go through. Aren't you excited? So we should be done by the time the Northcutts get back next Sunday. And, no, I'm just kidding. we're just going to do an overview of chapter 16. We're going to get the main ideas that the Lord's putting across here. And this week, what happens on Tuesday? But yeah, New Year's, that's right, New Year's Eve. And then on Wednesday, a whole new year. You guys excited for 2025? Yeah. Now, what does everybody do? What is everybody thinking about? Not necessarily, not all of us do, but we all start planning what? Resolutions, and we plan our year. What do we want to do this year? Many of us are thinking of vacations. And some of us are, my family is thinking of, our oldest daughter is graduating from high school this year. So planning on when are we finally going to get her out of the house? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just teasing. No, we're thinking about, we like to plan. Well, most of us like to plan. Not all of us like to plan, but most of us like to plan. We want to know what are we going to do for next year? What are some of the goals that we might have? Where do we want... Are we going to go visit family? What are some projects around the house that we need to get done? I can already see Christina over there. She's like, here's my to-do list for Luke. She's probably going to add on to it. I'm pretty sure you have a honey-do list.
Never ends.
I've got a pretty big honey-do list myself. But we all plan, and we like to have plans. Some of us are more detailed planners than others. Some of us are the, here's my general idea, and as it gets closer, I'm going to fill in the blanks. But we all like to plan. And we're starting to plan for a new year. Some people have already started early in their year. Emily already has started last year to plan for this coming year. But I know Pastor Northcutt, he's quite the planner. And I know I drove him nuts with when he was there helping us in Stephenville. He likes to plan years in advance. He's probably got a 20-year plan. And well, you know, we need people like that, don't we? I need people like that. I'm thankful Emily is a planner. I have a general idea, and we're going to wing some of it because that's fun, and that drives her nuts. But we all plan. So as we think about the plans that we're going to have, and I keep bumping into that thing, so I'm going to scoot that forward because I'm a roamer. I can't help it. But as we start making our plans, or we add to our plans, Proverbs 16 gives us a good base for an idea of how we ought to plan our year and any plans that we make. So let's begin in verse 1, and we'll read through the first few verses, and then we'll stair-step as we go through. So verse 1 says of Proverbs 16, says, "The preparations of the heart and man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Everyone that is proud in his heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. By the fear of the Lord, man depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. So as I mentioned this week, as we start looking at more detail in our plan for next year, let's make sure our plans line up with Scripture. Here, verse 1 says, the preparation of the heart of man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Verse 3 says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. All our plan making, all our decisions, everything that we plan to do with this coming year, we need to make sure it lines up with what God's word says. We need to make sure that our plans are God-centered plans. Now, many times we think, well, what does my vacation have to do with my plan, with being God-centered? Fixing this or fixing that or whatever. Many of our plans that we make, if we give them over to the Lord and whatever we do, our focus is to honor God, then we'll see as we study along that when we give our way to the Lord, our preparations to Him, and make them God-centered, God blesses those plans as we try to honor Him, and God blesses those and makes them productive, gives us fruit for our labor. So first in our plan making, we'll go ahead and start with a word of prayer and then we'll get into our message here. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for the day that you've given us. I thank you that we can worship you. Lord, I thank you that when we look at the new year, Lord, that we don't have to make plans on our own. Lord, we don't have to shoot into the dark of trying to accomplish things in our life, Lord, but as we seek to plan our year, our lives, Lord, as we seek to honor you in all that we do, Lord, we seek to do your will and to follow your direction and follow what is right, Lord, that whatever we put our hands to do is prosperous, Lord, maybe not in the world's idea of prosperous, of being financially wealthy and popular, Lord, but we have the peace that passes understanding. Lord, we see we'll see fruit for eternity. Lord, we'll see our families being joyful. Lord, our children growing to serve you and being happy and fulfilled, Lord, and that we can truly glorify you as we seek to make sure that our plans for the new year, our plans for our life, that they glorify you and they include you and what your word says we ought to do in our lives. Lord, we thank you for all that you do, work in our hearts, even now. Lord, use me in spite of myself. In your name I pray. Amen. So when making preparations or making plans, our first step in making plans should be seeking God's will. Here in verse 1, it says, the preparations of the heart and man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Our ability to think and do and speak come from the Lord. So we need to make sure that when we use those abilities that God has given us, we need to make sure we use them according to His will, according to what will please Him. What does He want us to do? In our plan making, as we seek to use our abilities, our speech, our actions, our planning, it must always be according to the will of God. Verse 2 says, all the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. We seek God's will because he's given us the abilities that we have. He's given us what we need to go about and do and speak and say, and well, I guess say and speak are the same thing, but to accomplish things. And we need to seek God's will because verse 2 tells us that man's ways are right in his own eyes. You know, a lot of times we think we're doing the right thing. Oh, this makes sense to me. I'm going to do this thing because it looks right to me, and it's going to help me, or it's going to work out okay. But the Bible tells us our ways are not always God's ways, and our ways aren't always the right ways, are they? We see things that we want to do in a biased manner, don't we? Because you know what? I'm always right, aren't I? I never have the wrong idea, or I'm never mistaken about something. And we think that about ourselves a lot, don't we? I've got everything I need, and everything's worked out all right for me so far. But we have the bias of thinking we're right. But who is always right? God is. He's never been wrong, has he? God's never said, oops, you know, that really didn't turn out the way I thought it would. God is all-knowing. God knows the beginning from the end. God knows what could have happened if we did something differently. He knows the possibilities. He knows what is right. He knows what's going to happen. If you had a friend that everything they did turned out right, would you ask them for advice? A lot of people ask their successful friends for advice. Don't you think we should go to God and say, Lord, here's what I'm planning to do. Here's what I'm looking at. Here's my year. What do you want me to do? Lord, is this the direction you want me to go? And seeking God's will in our planning. Go to him first before we say, hey, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. But I'm going to do this, Lord willing, if this is what God wants me to do. If God wants me to take this trip this year, money's tight, and should I go on this trip or should I stay home and do this? Or, Lord, here's two job opportunities for me. They both look okay. They both are going to be bringing about the same money. Lord, which job do you want me to take? Open the door for the job you want. Lord, show me through your word the principles that you want me to know and compare these things with and know this is what God wants me to do. Lord, give me peace about this. Lord, help me to see the truth, seeking God's will, because God is the judge of all the earth. God weighs the spirits. God weighs what is truth and what is wrong. Because he is what? He is truth, isn't he? We need to seek God's will. Because our ability to think and do come from him. Because as man, we are self-righteous. We are we know everything, and many times we can't be told otherwise by other people. But we need to seek the Lord because he is righteous. He knows what is right. He always also knows what is best. We can pick out the difference between good and bad a lot of times, can't we? We can look and say, you know, that's a trash option. I don't even want this. This is a better option. This is a good option. Don't want that. But many times we're blind to the third option, which is best. Because we, oh, this is good and that's bad, so I'm going to go with this. But God says, hey, I got something better for you. But we don't see it because we're finite. But God is infinite. So seeking God's will. We also see in verse 3, he says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The word commit thy works means to hand over authority. Hand over the authority of your life to God. I'm not in control of my life. I need to give control of my life, the authority of my life, to God. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Psalm 37:4-5 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Anthony spoke from Proverbs chapter 3 last Sunday and this Sunday for Sunday school. And he started in verse 11. And verse 11 tells us to not despise the chastening of the Lord. When we do wrong, we need to allow God to correct us. And when we allow God to correct us and we give over the authority to God for our lives, then we learn that God gives us wisdom. And as God gives us wisdom and direction, we need to use that wisdom. And there in Proverbs 3, God tells us that we need to cherish, we need to see the importance of godly wisdom in our life, that it's more important than gold, it's more important than silver, and it's more precious than rubies. And we need to seek that wisdom, that direction from God. And when we make our plans for life, we need to plan according to God's wisdom. And in order to gain God's wisdom, we need to fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And what is fearing God? Is it that, oh no, God's going to destroy me? Is it that kind of fear? There's a little bit in that, but it's that respect, that awe of God. Knowing that one, God is all-knowing. That God is wise, God is holy, and that he is a great God. I need to honor him. And in that honor, you also see, when I do wrong, there's that correction. I don't want to do wrong because there's correction. I want to do right because there is blessing in right. And when I follow him, God gives wisdom, gives direction. When we give over, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. Here's my year. Lord, what do you want me to do? And as we surrender to him, seeking his will, he gives us wisdom in, hey, here's what I want you to do this week. Here's what I want you to do this year. Here's some goals that I have for you. And as we take that step by step of that step of obedience in this area, God opens up more options for us, more things for us. Lord, where do you want me to go here? And as we plan to seek God's will, he works out the plans for our year as we step in faith for our plans for today. But our plans need to start with seeking God's will. We also see that in verse 4, it says, the Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. We need to seek God's will because we are created to glorify him. Verse 5 says, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord, though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. I got to get going here. I'm getting stuck on a lot of these things here, but they're all so good and all important. But we need to see that we were created to glorify God. But if we, our heart is filled with pride, verse 5, the Bible tells us pride is an abomination to him. And there is punishment for pride. And when we don't seek God's will, when we seek to do our own thing, there is destruction ahead for us. Even as Christians, it's not eternal destruction, but our plans are going to fail. The things that we seek to do, they're not going to be accomplished the way we think they are. We need to give reverence to God. Verse 6 says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Remember, when we reverence him and honor him, it brings about a desire to avoid evil. We'll see pride as God sees it. We'll see wickedness as God sees it. And we won't have a desire for it when we seek God's will instead of our own. When we have humility. When we seek truth. Verse 7 says, when man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. We see that as we seek God's will and we do what is right, we do what is true, God gives us peace even with those that dislike us, those that are against us. Verse 8, better is little with righteousness than great revenues without right. Righteousness, seeking God's will, following God's way, is much better than riches. We can be broke, but richer than the richest man on earth when we do what is right. I have seen many broke Christians that have contentment, that have greater peace, that have their needs met. And I've seen some very rich people, known some very rich, miserable people. They have all the wealth that you can ever imagine. They have all the toys. They have all the things. But there's no contentment. There's always the want for more. There's always this going wrong or that going wrong. But the man that seeks, the person that seeks the Lord, seeks right, God gives contentment. Contentment and having what you want is not the same thing. Contentment is thankfulness, gratitude, and peace with what God has given you. And there is no want or need for more. Righteousness is always better than riches. So when we plan, we need to seek God's will. When we plan, we need to seek to treat others righteously. Verse 10, a divine sentence is in the lips of the king. His mouth transgresseth not in judgment. A just weight and balance are the Lord's, and the weights are the bag of his work. So here in verse 10 through 15, writer here of Proverbs talks about how we treat others. And in verse 10 through 12 is speaking of those that are in authority, how they're to treat those that are they have authority over or they're equal. Here, God speaks here about those that are in authority, the king here. He says that a divine sentence, a godly word, a godly speech is in the lips of the kings. And He judges right. There's no transgression in what he says and what he tells and what he has his those under him do. One that is in authority always seeks godly words, seeks to speak truth and right and good. Verse 11, he seeks to deal honestly and fairly. A just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of a bag are his work. The idea here of a just weight and balance is the person that would, in buying and selling, I'll give you a bushel of wheat for so much gold. And so a just weight was an accurate weight. So the merchant would have these weights. He would take the whatever he was selling. I'm going to give you a pound of butter. He put it on there and have a pound weight and put it on there. It would say a pound on the weight. And so, oh, there we go. Here's a pound. But a crooked merchant would have a pound weight, but he would have it a little bit less than a pound. It's an inaccurate weight. So he could cheat people. I'd pay a dollar a pound, but I'm only getting a few ounces less than a pound, or a few grams lighter than a kilogram, or whatever the weight was at the time. When we plan, we need to plan to treat people justly. Not what can I get above everybody else. I'm going to do this thing that a little bit shady, but it's going to help me in the long run. No, we need to plan to seek godly words. We need to plan to seek to deal honestly and fairly with one another. Not trying to get the better of whatever we do, but trying to treat others better than we treat ourselves. Putting others first. Being fair, being right, being honest. In verse 12, it says, "It is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness." Here he's using a king as an example. No matter who we are, if a king needs to treat others righteously, we need to treat others righteously, don't we? No matter what we do, we must always do right. We need to seek to treat others of our equal, or those that are under us, under our authority, righteously, to seek godly words when we speak to them, when we deal honestly with them, and always do right. Verse 13, "Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speak right." So verse 13 through verse 15 here, it goes from speaking about how the king treats those that he's over, but how those that are under an authority, how we ought to treat those that are in authority over us. We need to have right words. We need to be truthful and speak what is right to those in authority. It says, "Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speak right. The wrath of a king is a messenger of death, but a wise man will pacify it." Do those in authority always do what's right? Do they always make the right decision? No, they don't. So what do? "You stupid moron, why did you? I'm not going to listen to you. I'm not going to follow you." And is that a godly response? No, a godly response is to be a peacemaker. Have you ever been at work, or even not at work, under somebody's authority, and you've been accused of doing something wrong and you didn't do anything wrong? and your manager or your boss or whatever is tearing into you, and you just want to say, look here, idiot, you got it all wrong. You don't know what you're talking about. That is not a godly response, is it? The godly response is, I'm sorry. This is what has happened, and what can I do to make it right? Even though you weren't the cause of it, but you are the peacemaker. What can I do that can change the situation from your anger to making the thing right, even though I'm not the one that broke it? It's that peacemaker. And of course, you wouldn't necessarily say it quite like that. But you get the idea. Seeking peace, even though you're not the one that's caused the trouble. We're to be peacemakers. And if we've caused the trouble, we definitely need to make it right, don't we? But we need to be peacemakers. Seek to treat others rightly, those in authority over us. Be truthful, speak right, speak truth. Be a peacemaker and be a positive influence. Verse 15, in the light of the king's countenance is life, and his favor is as a cloud of the latter rain. We need to be a positive influence on those around us. Be a positive influence on those that are equal and those that are an authority over us. Not just a yes man or someone that is trying to gain favor with the boss just so the boss likes them and gives them favor, but someone that seeks to make the authority's life easier and to be a genuine help for being help's sake. Not to be the hindrance at work, but to help be the solution to the problem at work or in authority or wherever it is. Seeking to do what is right, because being the positive influence, being friendly, being dependable, being the one that is there to help fix the problem instead of cause the problem. We need to be positive influence. As we plan, we need to plan to treat others righteously. Verse 16, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? This is an ongoing thing through Proverbs, the importance of gaining wisdom, and that how valuable godly wisdom is. So as we plan this year, we need to plan to seek God's will. We need to plan to seek to treat others righteously. We need to plan to seek wisdom. We need to plan to seek it above riches. We need to seek it above gathering fame. As we plan, we need to plan to learn to grow in Christ, in wisdom every day. That needs to be one of our priorities in our plans, is to seek the Lord, to seek wisdom. Wisdom in verse 17 says, the highway of the upright is depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Wisdom steers you away from wrong. It shows you the right exit to take in life, the right path to go. The highway of the upright is depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Verse 18, it says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Wisdom helps you to avoid pride. It shows Godly wisdom shows you as you truly are. It reveals our sin nature and our sin. And it shows us who God is. And it should humble us before God. But it also shows, when we've placed our faith and trust in Christ, it also shows us who we are in Christ. We are sinners saved by grace. We have value in Christ. But when we don't follow Christ, that value is diminished, isn't it? It's tarnished. But when we follow Christ, when we seek godly wisdom and live according to wisdom, we see ourselves as who we are, and we have that humility. And that humility causes us to want to follow Christ because our worth is in Christ. 19 says, better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Verse 20, he that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Wisdom helps us to be able to, the word there, handle, has more to do with how we speak and to talk through a situation and to also live through a situation, carry through a situation. Wisdom gives us carefully considered words. Verse 21 says, the wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increase learning. Wise words, as we use words wisely, it is helpful. It is sweet. It is delightful. And the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Verse 22, understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. Wisdom helps us to control our tongue. It helps us to give insightful words. It helps to bring about good instead of folly. Verse 23, the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. There's that continued growth as we gain wisdom. It helps us gain more wisdom. As we use it, we'll also seek to continue to grow in it. Verse 25, it says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Again, we're back to the same idea that we see in verse 16, the preparation of the heart in man, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Verse 3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The idea here is man thinks we know what is right, but if we follow our own direction, what does it bring? Destruction. Verse 25, it says, there is a way that seemeth right to the man, but the ways thereof are the ways of death. As we seek to plan this year, as we plan our years, we need to plan to seek God's will. We need to plan to seek to treat others righteously. We need to seek to gain wisdom and use it. But as we plan, we also need to plan to prepare to deal with the ungodly. here in verse 25, again, as I mentioned, he's reiterating the fact that men have a way, think they know what is right. And the man that doesn't follow God is going to find trouble, is going to find death. And we see that wherever we look as Christians. We see those that are going their own way. They're trying to live separate from God, and we see the path that they're taking is destruction, is death. We also need to understand that because of that, there's going to be hardship all around us. There's going to be confusion. There's going to be lives in turmoil, lives that have difficulty, and people that have no peace. And we need to be aware of that. And it, we see it, don't we? Unfortunately, a lot of times we do more complaining about it than we do praying for those going in the wrong direction, seeking opportunity to show them the truth of God's word, and praying that they will accept Christ as their Savior, to seek the right way. But there's going to be those that won't. And we need to realize it's going to be an everyday thing where we deal with people that are going to try to treat us wrong, that are going to try to treat others wrong to get ahead. They're going to be the yes men at work that are trying to get the boss's favor but do nothing to actually earn favor, but try to trick and deceive. And when the boss is there, you're such a great person. Oh, but behind their back, they're talking bad about the boss, or they're the ones that are always the first one on break and the last one to come off break. And you really don't want their help on a project, because they're bound to mess it up because of laziness. But how do we deal with them? Here in verse 26, he says, "He that laboreth for himself, for his mouth craveth of him." We need to understand there's going to be people like that, the self-righteous. There's going to be those that are selfish. They're only working, if they're working, they're only there to help themselves. And it doesn't matter if they get in your way or not. You're in their way, so. But they live selfishly. Verse 27, it says, "An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire." There's that constantly seeking to do wrong and seeking evil and speaking evil. There's always strife. Verse 28 says that a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. Verse 29, "A violent man enticeth his neighbor and leadeth him into the way that is not good." Verse 30, "He shutteth his eyes to devise froward things, moving his lips to bring evil to pass." So there's always going to be those that are seeking evil, speaking evil, trying to cause strife, trying to get others to join them in the wrong, and just constantly doing what is wrong. So what do? Do we get angry at them? Do we call them down and try to point them out to the boss? You know, He's the one that... No, we go back to seeking to treat others righteously. We're always truthful. We always speak what is right. We always seek to be the peacemaker. And you know what happens to those that are doing wrong? It comes out, doesn't it? Truth always is revealed. Verse 31 says, "The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness." All those that are doing wrong, if we're doing what is right, there would be glory all our days. Even the hoary head there. What is the hoary head? You know who that's speaking about? Old people like Dana. Now, it's the gray hair. Some of us start graying sooner than others. It's speaking of those that, not necessarily just because of age, but the wise that have lived and seen these things. They understand as they've seen God's word and they've understood God's word and lived God's word. They've seen God's word work. They've seen the wisdom of God work. And they've seen the wisdom of God as come to pass as God said it would. That it'll produce fruit. It'll produce peace. It'll give joy. It'll give contentment. He that be found in the way of righteousness, be crown of glory. Verse 32, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. The lot is cast in the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord." As you deal with people that are only seeking their way, as we, verse 32, we're slow to anger, and we rule our spirit, and we follow the wise path, seeking to treat others righteously, as we plan to respond to others righteously, the Bible tells us there's peace that comes to us. It may not be, the person may never change. The person may continue to do what is wrong and continue to go against right. But the Bible tells us here in verse 32, "The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing is of the Lord." The idea there of the lot is when something bad had to be taken care of and nobody wanted the job, they cast lots or drew straws. Oh, man, I guess I got to take care of this problem. I got the short straw. You might get the short straw, the undesired person at work to deal with. But what does it say at the end of the chapter here? "But the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord." God is still in control. And God is going to take care of the problem that's in your lap. But it comes down to seeking the Lord's will. I'm going to plan this year to make sure that I'm seeking the Lord's will. I'm going to plan this year. In all my planning, I'm going to seek to treat others righteously. I'm going to seek wisdom. I'm going to prepare for the ungodly. I'm going to prepare for being treated, mistreated, but treat them righteously, even though I might be treated wrongfully. And I'm going to give it to the Lord because God is in control and He will make all things right. In all our planning, let's plan to live our life according to Proverbs 16. Doing God's will, treating others righteously, seeking wisdom, and preparing to deal with the ungodly and treating them correctly.